subcommittee. We are short one senator in order to open, Senator Winters has indicated that she will be a few minutes late, as has Representative Johnson. Well, we appreciate the diligence of Senator Devlin being here on time every meeting and always prepared. Thank you very much, Senator.
Mr. Chairman, I apologize yesterday, but the House Revenue Committee was actually considering a Senate bill. So,
what on earth possessed him to do that? I wonder. That's out of character. With that, this subcommittee of the subcommittee will go ahead and open for the express purpose of taking testimony and information from Dallas Wyand from Legislative Fiscal Office, our committee scheduler, and our subcommittee assistant today continues to be Karen Segrist. So, Dallas, you've got some staff recommendations and some discussion.
Yes. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you have before you my staff recommendations on the budget for public employees' retirement system. And you also have them summarized in are the numbers with the 5-2 divisions, the operating units. We're starting again with the governor's rec, which, if you'll remember, included a number of packages to for the agency to meet legislatively mandated workload, internal workload issues, and backlog. So starting with the governor's recommended budget, my recommendations are listed here, but I'll go over them one by one to explain them. For the retirement system programs, recommendation is to reduce the limitation. These are all other fund expenditure limitation by $468,554. And this is to bring the inflation adjustment. Remember, the co-chairs have said all agencies have to go to zero inflation. So this is just to take out that portion of the inflation. For the salary freeze, our recommendation number two is to reduce the limitation by $747,129. And this was provided through the Department of Administrative Services, just like with all the other agencies. It's straight off of their report. My third recommendation is to reduce the limitation by $25,000 to adjust the unemployment assessment part of the budget to a more realistic level. And I say that because it was built using projections I think aren't it's just a mathematical computation of what we used to refer to as current service level. The department has experienced very low costs in this area, and with the increased workload and the additional FTE, I really don't expect a lot of employees to be let go and cause a drain on or a call on unemployment insurance. This would take the balance down to about $16,000. They estimate $13,000 for the current biennium, and in the prior biennium, the actual was about $6,000 or $7,000. Number four is to reduce the limitation in professional services by $75,000. And this is to transfer expenditures for audit services from the they were planning to use the Secretary of State to perform what I would consider an internal audit function. And rather than expend the funds with the Secretary of State, I will be recommending the, improving or increasing their internal audit capacity.
Now, there was a request in the budget document for internal audit capacity increase.
Not in this one. It was last biennium there was one, and so I'll be recommending a little further down one more internal audit position to help beef that function up. The internal auditor for the agency was part of a group that did a presentation to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee during the interim.
Okay.
And this is one audit internal audit shop that has followed the Oregon Accounting Manual with respect to establishing standards. There's reporting. They're following all the professional guidelines and standards. So the audit committee was very supportive of that, and I think that beefing up the internal audit function in this agency would be a good thing.
Okay.
The The next one is to reduce the limitation by $85,662 for the reduction in the Attorney General billing rate. I'd like to acknowledge that the department will, in all likelihood, incur far more additional legal expenses than is in their budget. House Bill 2003 allows them to, with the concurrence of the Attorney General, to use outside counsel in defense of the many challenges that are expected to come forward with respect to the legislation that's out there.
Now, and outside counsel, is that provided for state agencies?
This is allowed under law if they follow certain practices, okay. and the bill provides for that, and it will be with the concurrence of the Attorney General. So, and the Attorney General will still be there to, in effect, help monitor and work with the agency with that outside counsel. This was a concern of the Assembly, and so we haven't built in new money for those additional legal expenses in this budget. They can come back to the E-Board.
Dallas, does it make sense, I mean, with the Attorney General's billing rate, is there a reason that, I mean, other than it just forces them to come back to the E-Board sooner, probably?
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, yes, because it'll be in a different line item. We could shift it. Instead of reducing it, we could move this, if you would like, to other professional services. This is just for the Attorney General, and I figured you're looking at the demand for the services, and this, if we left it in there, my original, when I contacted them, I asked specifically if they'd be accounting for those additional expenses under
AG this rate
code or professional services, and when you said it would be in a different expenditure code. So this just leaves the AG usage at the same level that was budgeted.
And the independent counsel, is that an active budget line item then?
Not yet. I don't
Okay.
We may have to revisit this anyway before the session gets
Yes, done. That is true.
So, I'm not worried about it. I just wondered how they bill. I just wondered how they would bill outside counsel. But that's okay. Thanks.
Okay. Number six is to reduce the limitation by $94,193 for the reduction of DAS assessments and the toll-free rate. Number seven, here's where we're recommending something that's not in the budget request, to increase the limitation by $137,727 and improve one internal auditor two position, 1.0 FTE, to strengthen the internal audit function. This, like I said, is partially offset by the $75,000 savings in professional services. And if you'll remember, they had Secretary of State Audit Division did an audit on benefits calculation. That cost about $95,000. So I think that the internal audit function will ultimately save them costs in Secretary of State audit.
From the internal audit position that we'd previously approved, tell me how the internal audit position 2 works here.
Okay. An internal audit position 2 is more experienced. Right now there are only two approved internal audit positions in the department, or in the agency, I'm sorry. One of those is the manager, and the other one is an internal auditor 3, a very senior, experienced one. This would strengthen it with an internal auditor 2. This wouldn't be someone right out of school or just with a year or so experience. This is a little more experienced, someone that would have the capability to take under a minimum amount of supervision with some direction, go out and be able to conduct some internal audit work and have it reviewed by the supervisor. So again, their staff wouldn't be large enough to allow for individual training and development of new internal audit 1 positions. So this is what's recommended in the internal auditor 2.
And the $94,193?
That reduction.
I'm sorry, $137,727. Is that anticipated for 24 months for the biennium?
Yes, it's the entire biennium, salary, and a little bit for its salary, OPE, and a little bit of services and supplies.
Okay.
The next one is to increase the limitation by $330,496 and approve 3 limited duration positions, 3.0 FTE, to finish the documentation of the business rules. During this current biennium, they used some other savings to internally finance some limited duration positions. The business rules has been an issue. Documentation of them has been key. It's a critical element to their moving forward with their systems development and other initiatives. And in talking with the manager of that area, he's using this approach where we've got one full-time person who's responsible for the project, and then these limited duration positions should enable the agency to complete this project in the 03-05 biennium, and we're very supportive of that and have been over the years. The need for it is extreme, I might add. The next recommendation.
For the three limited duration positions, or just the business rules?
Yeah, completion of the business rules is key. For the next recommendation is to resolve some technical adjustments that were the agency had worked with the budget management after submission of the budget, and that is to increase the limitation by $134,968 and approve one limited duration position. One FTE. The position was originally denied when the budget came forward, but subsequently it was approved as a limited duration position, but wasn't included in the original package that came forward. There are some other little technical adjustments that were included in this, but by and large, this reflects the additional position and some other minor adjustments. Again, that's a technical, what I would consider a true technical adjustment brought forward and result by the agency and work with budget management.
So when we say that it has been approved by the Human Resource Services Division, they have reviewed the need within PERS?
Yes, they have. In fact, I think the original request was for a permanent position, and HRS, the Human Resource Services Division, originally denied that. Agency appealed, but all this happened after the budget had come forward, and the Human Resource Services Division ultimately agreed, but at a limited duration position.
Okay.
The number 10 is actually to allow the agency to carry over limitation it hadn't been able to use on technical for IT initiatives. We are requesting you increase the limitation by $3,082,947. This is limitation directly related to projects and initiatives that had been approved during the interim. They just hadn't expended all the funds by the end of this biennium, and so this is to carry over that work that had been approved by the legislature.
So these were some of the funds that we approved through the Joint Legislative Information Management Technology.
Yes.
And then were approved by the Emergency Board, and they actually ended up with $3.1 million of excess unused technology initiatives.
Right. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, if you remember, throughout the interim, a lot of their initiatives got held up. The funding got held up because of special session issues and a lot of other things, so that We gave them a limitation, but because of the late start, they weren't able to carry it out and finish it by the end of the biennium.
Okay.
The next one is to increase the limitation by $212,756 for facilities maintenance and utilities. This is to recognize the increase in the facilities maintenance and utilities costs that were billed from the Department of Administrative Services Facilities Division. The agency has been working with facilities. They may not, what was the term? Earlier someone said they were comfortable with it. Well, we're not comfortable so much as have a better understanding of what the costs are. But the increased limitation is warranted.
These are the sneak last-minute facilities bills that we got then.
Yes.
Okay.
This is one of 12 agencies that received these adjustments.
Now, is the balance of the rate reflective of the new rates then?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
In the 03-05.
03-05, that's correct. Number 12 is to increase the limitation by $124,941 to fund the purchasing support that will be provided by the Department of Administrative Services Procurement Office. We provided a limited duration position and limitation in the Procurement Office for the Department of Administrative Services. This is to allow, this will be dedicated to the procurement contracts mostly that the Public Employees Retirement System will need support for when they are, as they move forward with all of their changes to systems and the like.
So the DAS procurement arrangement that we presently have within the Department of Administrative Services, is it fee-for-service or is it assessment?
This is a fee-for-service type of situation. Okay. And what this one is instead of a fee-for-service, it's just an agreement to fund the position. So the Public Employees Retirement System has limitation here. They'll pay DAS for the position.
Oh, I think we saw that. And the DAS is a separate line item,
that's
too.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Then number 13 is to reduce the limitation in policy option package 104. This was reinforce existing undertakings, and there were some position reclassifications that were ultimately financed elsewhere, so we don't need this limitation in that policy option package. We are supportive of that whole package. This is just a technical adjustment for position reclassifications that were they were able to fund internally. The next one is we are recommending we do not approve policy option package 109. This was carried forward in the budget. And it was limitation and position authority to implement proposed legislation. That proposed legislation ultimately didn't come forward. So this is the effect I put parenthetically is a reduction in the limitation by $321,474 and a reduction of 3.0 FTE. Number 15 is I'm recommending that we not approve policy option package 102. This is the accuracy initiative. This 12 FTE, if you'll remember, and $1.3 million. We, since this budget was presented, House Bill 2004 came through this committee, and we provided 41 additional positions and 25 FTE. There are other bills that are going to be placing additional stress on the system that reflect legislative priorities. This is a management priority, and I am recommending at this time not approving it because of all the legislative priorities that are being heaped upon the agency. This shouldn't, however, preclude the agency, particularly when the new board is in place and has an opportunity to assess and evaluate and come forward then with its own priority list. This shouldn't preclude the agency from coming forward after the new board has been seated and possibly requesting this in the future. But I believe at this juncture, the agency is already stretched very, very thin and will be stretched even more so, I think, with some of the legislation coming forward. And so I'm recommending that we not approve policy option package 102. And that was strictly the accuracy initiative, not workload issues or the other like. And certainly not backlog. We believe that the backlog, addressing the backlog, is a legislative priority also, and it's probably more pressing than the accuracy initiative. The number 16 is to increase the limitation by $571,492 and improve 14 limited duration positions, which is equates to 6.24 FTE. And this is to address that current workload issue because of the number of retirements. You'll remember the agency presented, in fact, a couple of times, the increased demand on staff for the workload there. I think it's not had to process this many retirements in any time, even at those spikes that the committee had to deal with in, I think it was 2099, maybe, where there was some concern about how earnings were going to be credited. We saw spikes there, but not to the level they're at now. And so we are recommending this approval of this. The agency has a plan for utilization of the staff. It's well developed. And we are very supportive of that. The last one is to request that the Department of Administrative Services unschedule $29 million of the limitation, which is approximately 60% of this, the budget revised, exclusive of the carryover of the IT funding. And with the direction that the new board come back and request the limitation, or request that it be rescheduled, and by that I mean return to the emergency board, and after the new board has had an opportunity to review the agency operations and priorities, and report to the emergency board on the direction that the board, the Public Employees Retirement Board, is taking with respect to the agency oversight and operations. House Bill 2005 is now on the governor's desk for signature, and that is the one that sets up the new board. That new board is to be sitting, appointed in effective September 1 of this year. They're it's part of the governor's package and the legislative package of addressing PERS reforms. No reflection here on the operations of the agency, but I think that my recommendation is more to provide the emergency board, the legislature through the emergency board, to have that dialogue with the new board and hear where what it sees as issues, and that's the reason for this recommendation.
Unscheduled to dash the $29 million.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that, like I said, that's about 60%, which would allow the agency to go forward well into the early calendar 2004, so that the board should have had about 4 months by then to assess and come forward with a request.
What's the seating date of the board anticipated under House Bill 2005?
September 1st, 2003, Mr. Chair. That's some of the recommendations for the retirement program. The deferred compensation program is a smaller program, and I have only 5 recommendations, and these are pretty much just to reflect some other adjustments that have their portion of adjustments that you've seen in the retirement system program. I'll go through those for the record. The first is to reduce the limitation by, again, the deferred compensation program is all other funded, and it's from the plan assets of the deferred compensation plan. So the first one is to reduce the limitation by $76,966, and this is just a zero to bring the inflation down to zero as we have with other agencies. Reduce the limitation by another $8,895 for the salary freeze. It's much less here. It's a much smaller part of the operation from the others, but this is the effect of the salary freeze. Reduce the limitation by $2,642 for the reduction in the Attorney General billing rate. The fourth recommendation is to reduce the limitation by $3,214 for the deferred comps portion of the reduction of DAS assessments and the toll-free rate. And here we also have recommending an increase in limitation by $7,329 for the its share of the facilities and maintenance and utilities under the Department of Administrative Services.
Which is reflective of the amount back up under 10, I guess.
That is correct. It's the portion applicable to...
Or 11, I guess. That's late billing.
Yes, 11. And this is the portion that's allocated to the deferred compensation operations in the agency.
Which brings Attorney General's fees under number 3 back to the $98.
$98, that is correct, Mr. Chair.
As does number 5 bring it to $98.
That is correct. For the adjusted those for that amount. The sum of that then would be for the agency overall would be other funds limitation total of $51,777,770, a lot of sevens, and 259 positions or 250.24 FTE. This is in addition to the limitation in FTE provided in House Bill 2004. So you can see that if we add there were 41 positions or 25 point something FTE added in that. So the agency's got a heavy workload in front of it and a lot of positions. They're going to be shift work at night and the like.
There is a shift differential, I see, within the budget
yes.
plan.
And when we adjust for inflation, we'll do the same thing like with gas. It'll be reduced across those different areas where the inflation increase was provided. One of those was in shift differential. But those are my recommendations, Mr. Chair.
What'd you do with shift differential, Dallas?
Well, there was what I'm saying is that the inflation adjustment would apply across and to that, too, so that if it had been increased by an inflation adjustment, it would be decreased.
Okay. Okay. Are there any questions of the subcommittee members? Dallas, you've also handed us out the spreadsheet.
Which kind of shows where each
of the various recommendations for increases and decreases, including the...
Yes, they're spread and reflected throughout this.
Now, there's nothing here that provides for deferred compensation, defined benefit, defined contribution, successor plan.
No, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, there's nothing in this budget that anticipates either House Bill 2003, House Bill 2020, right? 2003 is moving forward, and they will have to come back either during session. We've been in contact with the agency, and that's a moving target as to what's in there. And so for them to properly cost it out and address what's in House Bill 2003 for purposes of the budget, it's a little bit early yet, so I would be recommending that they be able to come back either during session or to a subsequent emergency board as that gets signed into law and we see what happens.
Okay, Patrick. Is this one of the budgets that we should work everything and then shelve it and come back? I mean, I don't have clear direction for our public safety committee from the co-chairs.
You've got a lot of mileage ahead of us on this particular budget.
My recommendation would be to work it out what we have. You know, we provided limitation in FTE with the bill in 2004. Not knowing what's going to happen, I don't think should hold up the basic operations of the agency to start continuing to move forward. You know, in here is some things that need to be addressed. The workload issues,
yeah,
the
current workload, the additional immigration position to accommodate and address the current workload.
Right.
And certainly the agency has given us information relative to the numbers of additional retirement. Senator Devlin, advice counsel.
Just a question, actually. We could work this budget and then come back again later, couldn't we? I think the anticipation is that 2003 will pass and that successor system will eventually pass through the Senate. Both of those might have additional impacts on the agency, but we could pass their budget on this point and still amend it through those two bills.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Yes, we can. We can amend it through those bills, or generally there's a cleanup bill or a technical adjustment bill that we run through Ways and Means later to catch additional adjustments to budgets. For example, no budgets are being adjusted for adjustments in the PERS contribution rate, the employer contribution rate. So we are expecting at some point to go back and do that in a technical adjustment bill that we could do it in there, too. So there are any number of vehicles yet available to us. We have Ways and Means has some financial administration bills in the locker if we need to. So, yes, it's...
Mr. Chairman, I'm okay with proceedings as soon as Senator Winters gets here.
Okay. I guess the concern that I would have is that completing this, and we have seen 2003 and some of the effects that it's got, or potentially my angst is that anything that's done on the Senate side could really roll any of the kinds of of numbers that we've pushed through at this particular point, whether it's to 2020 or 2003, whatever happens. So we'll address that as we get to that particular point, I guess. So, I, Senator, I appreciate your counsel on that. I think that's good advice, and that's probably what we've got to go ahead and do once we get a quorum here this morning and proceed to that particular point to go through the recommendations of the relative to the actual retirement system as well as to the deferred compensation program. Dallas?
Co-chair, would you prefer to recess him?
Why don't we go ahead and get a co-chair? And Senator, that's yeah. From your side?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go ahead and do that. We'll stand at ease for just a few moments. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, why don't we turn the mics off and call our ease from.
come back on the record, and we'll open a work session on Senate Bill 5538, the Public Employee Retirement System. And for the record, we have Senator Shevel and Senator Winter, as well as Representative Patrick and myself. Dallas, you've taken an opportunity outside of work session, previously on the tape, to go ahead and go through the 17 recommendations with regard to the public retirement system programs, as well as the 5 recommendations with regard to the deferred compensation program. You want to make a summary explanation of that, Dallas?
In summary, the recommendations, without being too specific, sir, are designed to incorporate savings that we have realized from the inflation adjustments, the salary freezes, as well as the adjustments to the Department of Administrative Services rate and the AG rate, make some other shifts, provide additional resources to the department to meet workload issues as well, but also a recommendation here is to not fund some work that we think is going to put additional stress on the system, and so they have enough stress being placed on by legislative mandates. But designed also with the recommendation for unscheduling of the funds to give the emergency board, the legislature through the emergency board, the opportunity to have a discussion with the new board as to its directions.
And as mentioned, we will see this budget back again and some other iterations and form as we move forward. Do you have any specific modifications to Senate Bill 5538, Dallas?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I didn't prepare them, but I will get them on the record for you right now. The recommendation for the retirement system program on would be, gosh, I don't have my calculator. Let's see, I need to subtract out the debt service. I did something wrong, Mr. Chair. Yeah,
you got to enter your negative first.
Oh.
No, I'll just go ahead and there you go.
My recommendation for Senate Bill 5538 is to amend line 13 for other administrative services expenses to an amount of $48,786,556. We would leave the amount for debt service the same, and then the amount on for administrative services, administrative expenses of the deferred compensation plan would be, if I fumble through my papers and I apologize, $1,524,662.
$662?
Yes, that is correct.
1524662.
That is correct, Mr. Chair.
So the recommendation for the amendment to Senate Bill 5538 for the Public Employee Retirement System would be as to line 11, $1,609,050 is changed to $1,524,662.
Correct.
And line 13, changed from $46,983,241 to $48,786,556.
That is correct, Mr. Chair.
Representative Patrick?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would make the motion to amend Senate Bill 5538 pursuant to the numbers just presented by yourself and Mr. Lyon.
Heard the recommendation. Are there any objections to that recommendation? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I'd move for the purposes of the budget report as well as what's gone on, I'd move the May 6, 2003 memo to this committee by LFO, spelling out the retirement systems programs as well as the packages, items number 1 through 17, as well as the deferred compensation recommendations, items 1 through 5.
Okay. You've heard the motion. Are there any objections? Hearing, seeing none, so ordered. Recommendation is then that we will, the motion was that we would move Senate Bill 5538 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Are there any objections to that? Do we want to hold this, Dallas, in its current format, or should we proceed through the full?
Mr. Chair, I'm submitting my recommendation and move it to the full.
You'd have sufficient other bills that we can pick up the other modifications for the other changes in the House and Senate then?
Yes, we do, Mr. Chair.
You've heard the recommendation and the motion, which we move to the full with due pass recommendations. Any objections? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered.
Carriers.
Senator Devlin on the Senate side. Senator Devlin, are you on full? You are, aren't you?
Yes.
Would you like to carry it there?
Or is this a House committee? Is it normal for a House member to carry it? Or?
It's a Senate
bill. It's a Senate bill.
Oh,
so.
Senate bill.
Okay.
I'll carry it. That's fine.
Okay. You'll carry it twice. This will get you right up to speed on it.
On
the House side? Representative Patridge? When it gets to be over $3 or $4 billion, I'll let Representative Patridge.
Right.
Okay. With that, there's no further business for today. Tomorrow's schedule?
Tomorrow's
open?
No, Mr. Chair, we have a work session for the Board of Tax Practitioners. Monday will be a work session for the Treasurer. Next Tuesday, work session, Employment Relations Board. Next Wednesday, work session on Racing Commission. And next Thursday will be a work session on the Board of Accountancy.
Okay.
The following week will be Oregon Liquor Control Commission and a fee bill with it, and also the Construction Contractors Board.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Devlin.
Can we get that in writing for the next couple of weeks?
I will print that calendar out for you.
Okay. Representative Patrick?
Mr. Chair, I just want to say for the record, while Jim's here and his staff, I've really appreciated the work that the Public Employee Retirement System has done this time in working with us, not only on our budgets, but continues to work in the building. I think your timeliness in light of the siege that you've been under has been incredible, and I appreciate it. So.
It's been yeoman's work, and we commend you. Thank you very much. With that, we will go ahead and close the general. Thank you again.
Thanks, Dallas.